Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky. Broadcasting live from the best yet broadcast booth in Foxborough. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Now here's Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky.
You got a third of that right. No Mutt, no Keith. Instead,
just me.
Christian Fourier, yep. And Greg Dickerson. Did you ever think of doing this? I know it was discussed over the summer, but did you ever think of doing this one show by yourself?
No,
I know you wanted to do the whole season by yourself.
No, I realized that it's better to give than receive. I'm a sharer. Like I like to include people.
And when did you decide to become a sharer as opposed to a receiver? Because, you know, you were receiving your own show a couple of months ago with nobody else.
Yeah, but, you know, I have this thing. They're called squirrel moments.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah,
yes.
And they happen. They happen more frequently than I'd like to admit. Mm-hmm. So me staying on track. So we'd be doing. I'm sure we'd do. I could do a great pregame show, but I'm sure we'd end up talking about movies. And what I did when I was 10 years old, something that I saw, a bird that flies by, anything like that.
So sort of like your typical OMF show.
Exactly.
2 to 6. Okay, yeah. Same exact thing.
And the problem is I usually use my best material like in the first 10 minutes. I take all these notes, do all this research, and I spit it all out in like one big giant like diarrhea of the mouth episode. And that's it.
I've got to, and maybe it's because I haven't worked with you in so long. Is this new? Because I don't ever remember this.
What?
I don't remember just oodles and pages of notes in a notebook. I've never seen this
before. I will
say
this, like once since I quit doing college football, and the show kind of our show kind of changed.
I miss you on the CBS Sports Network.
You were the only one.
I miss those Colorado State Tulane games. Those were great.
Yeah, I tell you what, I watch more film now. Well, about the volume than when I was playing.
Really?
Yeah, I watch a ton of film because I have so much time. So I'll watch every single game the Pats play. I treat it like I would a player. So as a player, I would always watch the last three games, right? So if there was any sort of trend, I would see it. If there was and if anything that was specialized, any situational play that would come up, you know, the coach would break them all up. So you watch. What you do is usually watch the last three games. That's what I would do. And then I would go into situational stuff. I would go into my red zone stuff, my you know, 10 and in, 20 and in, first down plays, second and short plays, second and long plays. But I was always trying to look for just, I guess, more personality of a player. Like, I knew the guy would line up. I was trying to see if, was he a four-quarter guy? Was he a playoff guy? Did he have what was his weakness as far as with his hands, with his feet? You know, kind of get him on a quick grab or something like that, and it's actually more fun now than it was last year.
Really?
Yeah, it's just because it's like I can actually I have more time to watch more games.
Well, you also don't have to travel to New York either.
Yeah, and I'm not doing the all 22 though.
Why not? I would think that would be a necessary evil, but you'd have to do that.
No, I can. You know what? The regular copy is just as good.
Really? Because normally I always hear from football. Oh, well, if you're just watching the TV broadcast, you can't see everything. You got to watch the all 22. That's where you really see everything develop.
Yeah, but see, I'm not sitting there trying to break down the different coverage concepts. Yeah. Like, God, they wrote it. They cover three after being in a squat now. And this, you can see it. Most of the times you can see everything you want. Here's what you do. You watch the condensed version.
Christian, no, I tell you, you get the DirecTV. On my DirecTV, I watched the all 22. I watched the Colts game last week 5 times.
Yeah.
Believe me, 5 different times.
It was funny because, like, when I was watching it was like so many things were so evident and so obvious, like, what their weaknesses were. And I saw play after play after play of the offensive defensive line just getting their ass kicked. Like, and I would put it in slow motion. If you really want to see a man, a man's will being broken, like, watch some of the plays of the Detroit Lions offense against the New England Patriots defensive line. Like, it's a hopeless situation. There's nothing they could do about it. They couldn't get off the blocks. And then when they thought they had an opportunity to get off the blocks, they got hit by another guy. I don't know. It was just fun to watch.
Okay, so I kind of go back to a question I asked earlier in a conundrum that I have that I don't know what this defense is. I think I have a pretty good idea and handle about this offense or where this offense is going to be going forward. Now that Edelman's back, you got Gronk healthy, Josh Gordon, hopefully he stays on the field. But I don't know what this defense is going to be, and I don't know what they are now. I don't know what I could have learned last week from Miami, because we've all talked about the holes in the Miami offense and their offensive line, and Ryan Tannehill's just not really a thinking man's quarterback. And I don't know what you can learn from tonight's game either against this Colts offense that, as we've said, is all beaten up. They've got nothing.
Yeah, see, I looked at this last week's game and this game, and even before the game with Miami, I said this is what you call getting back on track. Buying yourself time, because they had really been embarrassed and been physically dominated. They needed to just, stop the bleeding, first of all, buy themselves some time so they could fix some issues. But they couldn't fix those issues against good teams because the good teams exposed them. So they had no choice. Well, they lucked out for the fact that they were playing a team like Miami that had a bunch of injuries that were a suspect, definitely, coming into a place where they never won. And the Patriots, they were embarrassed and they worked their ass off during the week. And you could tell, like, they took it personally, which they should have. And now they bought themselves some time. They bought themselves a week, right? Okay, we're not going to be exposed for at least another 2 weeks. So people are saying, the Patriots are back. The Patriots are back. Okay, and they'll show up again tonight and they'll look good and they'll rally around the ball. And then they'll get 10 days off and then they'll really, really start to see. Because at this point in time, you should have an idea, at least a small idea, of what your internal personality is going to be like what you guys are made of, what they're willing to withstand, like how do they overcome adversity, do they give up when it's really an important time?
Well,
you should know that by now.
Shouldn't you know after 5 weeks? I mean, tonight's the fifth game of the season. Shouldn't you know after tonight?
Yes, I think tonight I'm sitting there going, all right, they're still buying themselves time, right? So I almost feel like they're just licking their wounds,
right?
They're just, they're putting the Band-Aid on it as they can, rebuild. Right, as they can fix things, they're stopping the bleeding at the same time.
Okay.
It's like triage. It's like some sort of battlefield commission that they're going to get as an army medic. Like, all these bullets are going on. You're trying to save somebody's life.
So you can save the leg. What you're saying
you're trying to save the leg.
You think this Patriots defense can be saved? That the leg can be saved by the
medic? How good do you think they were last year?
I thought they were okay last year. Obviously, take away what happened in the Super Bowl. I don't think it was one of their best defenses. I thought numbers-wise, they were overrated. You look at the numbers, and most Patriot fans will say, oh, if you think the Patriots defense isn't any good, what about the numbers? They don't give up points. The bend don't break. I didn't think the defense was very good last year. Certainly wasn't as bad as what we saw in the Super Bowl. But I was really disappointed in what I saw, especially in the Detroit game. I mean, Jacksonville game as well. But after the Jacksonville game, they got their asses kicked. And I figured, okay, you're on Sunday Night Football, national TV. You're going against your old defensive coordinator. I thought they would come out with some sort of attitude.
Yeah.
And they didn't have it.
Well, they took it. It got taken away from them.
Well, I wonder if they have it at all. And I don't know whether they have attitude or not, because that Miami team, they certainly didn't have any attitude. I don't think this team's going to have any
Miami
attitude.
They just showed up and walked out.
And I think
I don't think Miami's that bad. I don't think the Patriots are that good either.
But I'm not convinced. And I thought after that Houston game that, okay, yes, this is a better defense than what I saw all of last year during the regular season. I'm not convinced of that now. I just don't know. I don't know if they are.
Who on that defense, like, honestly, who scares you? If you're an offensive coordinator, you're starting to go, okay, this guy, I got to change my whole offense. I got to run away from him. I got to put two bodies on him. I got to draw up some sort of crazy play where I confuse him. I got to have a tight end off the line and chip some end because he's just disrupting everything. Who on this defense can do that?
There isn't anybody.
Not one guy.
Your best defensive player, so we thought, looks one or two steps slow in Dante Hightower. Most people thought, okay, get Dante Hightower back. That's really going to tighten up this defense. He's going to make this defense click. And we've all looked at him and said, holy crap, he's lost a couple of steps.
See, like, Claiborne should be a guy that should do, like,
Forget him. He had one. And you didn't think that going into the year? He had that one game last year, I think he tricked people.
I think he tricked people during the preseason.
Really?
Yeah, because he was getting sacks. He was beating one-on-one matchups, and he was winning on his own without the help of a blitz or a chip or anything like that. He was just beating guys.
Christian, I don't think in four games that I've watched, I don't think that a play-by-play or color announcer has mentioned his name once.
No, he's been non-existent. He's Casper. He's just disappeared. And I talked to a couple old Patriot players on defense, and they're like, look how much money this guy's making, and he's not doing anything. And I tell you what, I really feel like he would be the offense's left. So he's a right. So yeah, he's a right defensive end, dominant. He can't play on the other side. Like you watch him when he goes to the left side of the offense, like he's just not as effective. It's like he can only dribble with his right hand. Right. Whenever somebody forces him to dribble with his left, he's like, oh, no. You know, so he guards it.
They need to take that hand, tie it behind their back like I do with my kids and say, just dribble with your left hand.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like you have those little kids who are like, they're this right hand dominant.
Always go right, right.
So you tell the defense, listen, just put your hands up and force them. Yep. And even when you force them, they still use their right hand. It just doesn't matter. I like dribbling it right in front of them. My daughters do that. It's funny as heck. Trey Flowers – is consistent. I love Trey. I feel like he's always giving you everything. I think Dietrich Wise Jr. Is another guy that gives you a lot of energy.
He gives you a lot of energy, but is he special?
No, not yet.
He's not special. He's just a...
Not yet. No, not yet. I don't think anybody is.
He gives you a little edge and a little toughness, but you're not, as you said before, you're not saying, how do I scheme against
this
him?
This defense, even last year, this wasn't a scary defense.
No.
They played great on all those important downs. They were really good in the red zone, and they had an offense that was putting up enough points where they could play with a lead. Good luck trying to catch this team when they're hitting on all cylinders offensively. Just the stress that it puts on the defense, the opposing defense, is too much. And then the stress it puts on the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach to kind of like scrap their game plan and say, you know what, we don't have enough time. We can't just run it and be, you know, and try and do what we wanted to do. We have to be more aggressive. We have to take more chances. And then next, you know, now you're playing into their hands. It just doesn't work. So teams like that control the clock, like a Jacksonville, like a Detroit, they dictate the tempo. Not you. Now you're playing catch up. So I don't know. It's just one of those things where if they can play good team defense, even without stars, they'll be okay.
All right, we'll come back. We got more of NFL Sunday. On a Thursday, Patriots and Colts across the street kick off in less than an hour. It's Christian Fourier, Greg Dickerson, in for Mutt
and
Keefe and Cole. Talk some basketball. No, we won't talk basketball. More on I want to talk more about Andrew Luck and waste of money by Bill Belichick in the New England Patriots. We'll do that when we come back. NFL Sunday on a Thursday, Sports Radio WEEI. NFL Sunday on a Thursday, live from Foxborough. Christian Fourier and Greg Dickerson. Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts will kick off in about 45 minutes from right now. We started off the show kind of talking about Andrew Luck, and you have seen a lot of things out of him that other people haven't seen. I heard Bob Kravitz, the writer from the Indianapolis Star, last night on a radio show, and he basically echoed what you said. He said if you looked at him the first two games of the season, he didn't look very good, but he looked much stronger and his arm looked much more normal a week ago, which is great for Andrew Luck and the Colts, but he doesn't have any offense around him whatsoever. But what's the future for Andrew Luck? Do you think that Andrew Luck will ever live up to what people thought he would be when he came out of Stanford, or where he was after his first couple of years in the league?
Not with the setup he's got right now.
It's better than the setup he had with Ryan Grigson. I mean, that was a damn disgrace what Grigson did for that Indianapolis team.
But what they weren't doing is they weren't drafting. They weren't getting any defensive players, but they gave him a ton of weapons. They were drafting Philip Dorsett in the first round. They got Kobe Fleener. They got Dwayne Allen.
But they didn't know offensive line. If you remember, his biggest problems were because he didn't have any protection for years.
Yeah, so he's getting hit a lot, more than he should. He's a big kid, so he's young. You figure he can take it. No, I mean, I just sit there and I look at some of these other offenses like the Rams or the Chiefs, and I look at all the unbelievable weapons they have. So if Andrew Luck was a quarterback of either one of those teams, do you think it would be the same?
Yeah, I think he could easily do it with those guys.
Not easily, but I think the outcome would be the same.
It's funny you say that because I was going to ask you, if Andrew Luck was the quarterback last week for the Miami Dolphins, would that have been a blowout? Because I don't think it would have been. I think Miami would have been in that game. I think Andrew Luck would have done some things, made some throws, made correct reads that Ryan Tannehill didn't and couldn't.
Yeah, because even when I'm looking at it, I'm like, they've been in every single game they've played in. Every single game they played in, they've been in it. Even
they got what? Cincinnati, Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, and even that let me just find it. Even that Eagles game. The Eagles game was one of those situations where they had it first and goal at like the 10 or something like that. And yeah, it was he was only 25 of 40 for 164 yards. But he had first and goal at the 11. He had four tries to get the ball in and he couldn't do it. It was rainy. It was wet. And that's been their biggest issue, even going against Houston. They went, they got down. He brought them back, but they couldn't finish. Yep. Right? Even going back to the Houston where they had a fourth down, and they throw it. They go for it, and it's a bad throw, and it's an even worse route. Right? So the execution, I like the idea, but the execution, they picked a bad time to crap the bed. Right? But ultimately, and everybody loves it and stuff like that. But he's still like last week he had a franchise record in attempts, 62. So you're telling me Andrew Luck had more attempts than Peyton Manning?
Who did he throw to?
He had more attempts. All the years Peyton Manning was there, you're telling me Andrew Luck broke the attempts record and completion record? He had 40?
How did he get 40 completions?
Who's
catching the ball? Offensive lineman?
He just kept throwing it. They were pulling everybody off the bench. They're just throwing it. I mean, I told you, their backs, their returners, like, everybody was involved. It's crazy. It's crazy the amount of times they threw it. I just feel like that's crazy. When I saw that one, I was like, you're telling me Andrew Luck threw it more times in one game than Peyton Manning did? With all those weapons?
At least when Peyton Manning was in Indianapolis, he had some sort of semblance of a run
game. Yeah. They had a bunch of guys. Yeah, they were really good at play action, and Peyton was really good at selling it. So that worked a lot.
I just want this guy, to be good. I like a lot of people, love this kid in college. Thought he was a foundational once in a lifetime or once in a generation type player, type quarterback, that he was going to be another Elway or Brady or Marino or whoever. And obviously it hasn't gone that way, partially because of injury, partially because of the team that has been built around him. And I think for a lot of reasons, most people are forgetting about him. Patrick Mahomes.
Well, he got hurt. He missed so much time.
Carson Wentz. Yeah. And you're talking about Jared Goff. He's all of a sudden forgotten about with great quarterbacks in this league.
They have a really young team, and they're starting to kind of rebuild it and, develop some of their own players. And that's going to take some time.
Okay, it wasn't you. You just said take some time. I was going to ask if it was you. I heard somebody on the radio. You guys, everybody all sounds the same to me.
Sure.
Somebody said another year or two. Yeah. I think he sucks. He sucks. He blows.
I will tell you this. Toot my own horn. Two or 3 years ago, I looked at the Jacksonville Jaguars. I saw what they were doing. I was like, listen, I know they suck right now, and they're the butt of everybody's joke. Yeah, if this was the Jacksonville Jaguars, Deflategate wouldn't be a big deal. They were building something special. They were drafting right. They were developing their players. They were giving them time. And they finally got the right coach, and then Coughlin came back. And so you could see, his imprint was on them. I want to say the same thing about Cleveland. Cleveland is drafting the right. They have a lot of draft capital. And they're getting good players. They just need a different coach. And they could easily be undefeated right now when you think about it, if they were to make better decisions just overall.
I know you watch a lot of games. Obviously, Patriots are number one. But have you sat down and watched them for more than a quarter this year?
The Browns?
The Browns.
Yeah.
It is – I get a pain in my stomach. My head hurts when I watch Hugh Jackson coach. And that's saying something because there's so much – dumb, asinine, idiotic coaching decisions all around the league. I watch the decisions that he makes throughout the course of a game, and I say, how the hell does this guy have a head coaching job in the NFL?
Yeah.
How is it that I know what's right and what's wrong in terms of being a coach in the National Football League and what to do with this guy doesn't?
If I would say this. If you take the crappiest team as far as personnel and you just make them structurally sound, right? They're all lining up in the right place. They're not doing anything stupid. And the coach is managing the game the right way. They're gonna win 7-8 games.
Is that Baltimore? To me, that's Baltimore. You speak of Baltimore. I don't think there's a great amount of talent on that Ravens team the last couple of years. Certainly, Joe Flacco's been terrible, but I think they've got a very good coach.
No, and they have good management, there. And they have good ownership. So those three things, if you just have those three things, I think you'll always have a chance. Like, you're never going to be completely embarrassed.
Right.
Like, you'll have an off year just because, you know, you'll have injuries, and then maybe you don't have enough depth, and that depth that has to play isn't developed enough, so that ends up hurting you. But overall, because I've been on some – like, when I was in Seattle, my first 4 years, we had so much talent. Dennis Erickson was our coach, though. Dennis Erickson,
Miami
University
coach,
of Miami. Miami. Yep. He ran the Seattle Seahawks the same way he ran the University of Miami Hurricanes, which meant there was no – listen, there was no police on the floors for curfew. There was no curfew. There was always beer in the fridge.
Wait a minute.
You
can
come and go as you please. There was no accountability whatsoever, and it showed on the when we played – like, we made so many stupid mistakes. We were always 7-9, 8-8. And if we just had better discipline, we were 10-6, 11-5. Easy!
And you guys were probably fine with it.
I wasn't!
But how many guys that you played with on that team were like, man, this is great. I'm getting paid, yeah. Make a lot of money. I can do whatever I want.
So, I mean, I would even say, like, even to the point where we had a special teams coach that was so bad, once we changed the special teams, we went from the worst special teams in the NFL – once we got a new special teams coach, we were top five. And then the year after that, we were number one just because of coaching. Same talent. So, I mean, it transfers itself. It translates into the offense and the defense. Just line up right. Be sound. Be accountable. You'll be in every game.
Did you say police on the floor? Is that what
Yeah,
you
know how it works, right?
No, like, I know. Oh, no.
Wait, they don't do that in basketball?
You're kidding, right? You're kidding. You're
no,
making
so
a joke,
with,
right?
In the NFL – Let's say you have three floors,
uh-huh.
right? And it's all for players. At the intersection where the elevator is, there's a police officer, off-duty police officer. He can look right and he can look left. You come out, you try to sneak out, exit door, whatever. It ain't happening.
You're kidding.
No, you can't
and
leave.
This goes on all around the National Football League.
Oh yeah. Yes, you have curfew. You have a police officer overnight. Because I remember one time I was like, I gotta go downstairs. Like, where are you going? I wasn't sneaking out. I just wanted to go downstairs and see if I can get something to drink. No, you can't leave. So, there's no sneaking out.
There's no such thing as police for the NBA. There's no such thing.
No.
There's no such thing as trying to sneak out. You just go out.
That's
you
a
come
different
and go
life.
As you please.
That's a different life.
You would have loved it. You would have loved it.
No.
You would have loved it. 41 times a year, you just come and go as you please. You would have loved it. We'll come back. We'll finish things up. We'll get some final thoughts on this game tonight between the Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, Christian thinks the Patriots will win.
How does he
think they will do it? I think they'll win, too. We'll tell you about that as we come back. NFL Sunday on a Thursday, Sports Radio WEEI. Christian.
The difference between NBA, the NBA lifestyle, and the NFL lifestyle, I can only imagine what baseball is like.
I think the NBA is the best because I think in the NBA, they just, as I said, they come and go as they please and there's no curfew, at least in baseball.
Is there a curfew in baseball? I mean, the games are over so late.
Yeah, I guess there's not. But at least in baseball, you got to play three straight games. At least in the NBA, you might be in a city for two nights and not have a game till that third night.
In the NBA?
Yeah.
Why would you get there so early?
Back in the past, say the Celtics were playing in Milwaukee and then on a Tuesday, and then Friday they were in San Antonio. Well, Doc didn't want to stay in Milwaukee, so they'd play in Milwaukee on a Tuesday night, and he'd say, Let's get the hell out of here. We're going down to San Antonio, and you'd have Wednesday and Thursday off in San Antonio, and he'd play golf, or, you know, it was, you know, that's the way it was done. Whereas in baseball, You got to get up the next day, and you got to be at the damn park for 12 hours.
Yeah, you could have, like, a whole nother life, like, in each city.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you really wanted to.
They do. They do.
See, I would say because football is just too – it's too regimented. It's too, like, structured. And it's one game a week.
But see, I think basketball players are just so used to it and accustomed to it that they can do it. I don't think you guys could do it. I think basketball players, great players, they can go out, they can go party, they can go to the club, they can do whatever, they can sleep for 4 hours, go to shoot around, get a two-hour nap, and then come out and score 25 and 12. I think they can do that. Whereas I don't think football players could do that.
No way. We're too uptight. We're way too uptight. You work all week and you put a game plan in for an entire week and you have one opportunity to do it. And if you don't do it, well, you know what? Like, you only had 16 games.
Right. If you're in the NBA, you say,
it's too risky.
Hey, it's Tuesday in Charlotte. Why am I busting my ass? It's Tuesday in Charlotte in January. Please, you kidding me?
Man,
Charlotte.
Wrong sport.
It's January.
Wrong freaking sport,
hey,
man.
Real quickly before we go, is this going to be another Sony Michel game?
Yeah. I mean, was he going to be in a rush for over 100 yards?
Yes. Is he going to carry the ball 15, 18 times?
Yes, he will. Yes. I mean, this is your strength. But also, I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to see more of what the Patriots' offense is based on what it was like, you know, based on
what we thought it could be.
But I think running the football is definitely part of their agenda and establishing an attitude more than anything. We're gonna pound you into the dirt. Like, we're done. Like, we're gonna be physical at the point of attack. And to me, that you gotta start there.
Is that why Belichick has seemingly done it as much as he has the last couple of weeks? Obviously it worked last week in Miami, but it almost seemed like he was banging his head against the wall by running the football the weeks before that.
Yeah, I thought it's an attitude thing. It's an attitude thing.
Even if it wasn't working, you still had to do it.
Well, but also I think they had so many liabilities and so many issues. It's like receiver and this and that. They just no one can get over. They were like the worst had the worst receiving core as far as targets in the NFL. Right. They're terrible. They weren't even throwing the football. They didn't have you think about it. So against the Lions, they had 48 offensive plays against in the whole game. Against the Miami Dolphins, they had 48 in the first half. So they had more opportunities, more chances. They were good on first. They were good on third down because they were good on first and second down, so they had tons of opportunities. So, yeah. So I think in this game you're going to see a little bit of everything.
Tomorrow, OMF will break the entire thing down 2-6. Lou, Christian, and Glenn, you guys will be at Fenway for
Fenway
that
Park.
Little baseball thing they got. Real post game show with Fred, Steve, and Glenn coming up right after the game. Tune in here to WEEI. John, thank you back in Brighton. Andy, thank you
to
you here on site.
Enjoy your meatball sub.
Enjoy the game tonight. Don't forget the real post-game show afterwards here on Sports Radio WEEI.